Let me ask you something. Are you ready for the message today? Sanderson is with us today. Praise God. Amy, praise God. And kids, families is growing. Yeah. I can see the marriage is active. Marriage cannot be stuck, isn't it? We need to see. When we see kids, it seems like they are working hard. Amen. Are you ready for the message today? I'm so excited for... I'm always excited, but today is it's a very special day with this message. And let me tell you something. It's going to be a very hard message. It's not about you are going to be rich. It's not about seven steps to get happy. It's not about 10 steps to get rich. No. I don't pray. I don't preach this kind of message. I preach about cross. I preach about renouncing. I preach about what the gospel is all about. It's paying the price for salvation of people. Amen. Because Jesus paid the price for yours. Amen. But today I want to talk to you about the benefits of humbleness. Are you humble? Could you say prophetically, yes, I am. Yes, I'm very humble, and I'm better than everyone. Yeah. The benefits of humbleness. I'm going to read for you 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 to 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 to 7. Are you there? If you are there, say amen. Okay, if you are not there, you can read on the screen. Likewise, Peter said, likewise, you younger people. As this church, we are most younger people. You know, I feel very comfortable to preach this message. Because even my mom, she's very young. She never gets tired. She wakes up early in the morning. And we wake up because she starts to do some noise in the kitchen. You know. Yeah, cooking, preparing something, you know. When we woke up, she is already sweating for working. She helps in the garden. I'm not going to say everything because you're going to take her to your house. She's amazing. So we are all young in this place. Amen? Amen. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Oh, no. We don't like this kind of stuff. No. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. Could you tell somebody, he cares for you? Let me give you a brief report about this guy, Peter. And you can read a lot about Peter, but I'm just going to give you some important report before we explain this message. Actually, Peter, who wrote this amazing letter, is the same Simon Peter to whom Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan!" Jesus said it to Peter once. And the same one who cut off the ear of a soldier, and Jesus had to fix it because there wasn't his time yet. And also the same guy who denied Jesus three times. The same Peter. Say with me, the same Peter. So the same guy who denied Jesus, who cut off the ear of the of a soldier, and to someone who Jesus said, "Behind me, Satan." The same guy. Now, in the end of his life, he went to the encounter of God. He had an encounter with God. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And after that, Jesus called him, instead of Satan, instead of Peter, "Don't do this again." Jesus said, "You are Petros, a fragment of rock." Because on this rock, Jesus said about himself, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it." Amen? So, this bizarre guy was Peter. This letter has been written in the last days of his life, before he had been crucified upside down in Greece by the strongest persecution against Christians in the first century. Peter had been transformed by the power of God from a very rude and arrogant man into a very humble and meek man that walked with Jesus. Peter shows us through his life how painful the fruit of arrogance is, and also how glorious the fruit of humility is. Depends what kind of fruit you want to eat. A fruit from arrogance or a fruit from your humility. So let's consider something quickly. I'm just going to spend 2 hours today. I'm joking. Let's consider something very important thought in this very short scripture. Number one, Peter said, "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." Toward one another. In other words, Peter was saying, don't consider yourself better than anyone. Be humble. Because God loves humble, and he despised the proud one. Peter's expression, when he says, "Clothe yourselves with humility," he actually refers to a white scarf or apron typically worn by servants in that time. They used to use this kind of scarf to mark them as a servant. They were not owners. They were not rich people. They were not celebrity. They were servants. And Peter is challenging us today to use this spiritual scarf. I'm not saying buy a scarf. No. I'm not developing another religion. We don't need it. Yeah, we don't need it. But Peter is saying something in a spiritual context. Okay? So use something in your life that will mark your life as a servant, not as a celebrity. When you come to some place, don't try to find the best place. Don't argue with people because of the best place. I was talking to somebody. I was doing Kyle's discipleship this week. And I said, "Kyle, this Sunday I'm going to speak a little bit about it." But we talk about the mom that came to Jesus. She was mom of two disciples of Jesus. And she came to Jesus, Ronnie. She came to Jesus and she said, "Jesus, can I ask you something?" He said, yeah, go ahead. She said, "In your kingdom, could one of my sons sit on your right and another one on your left?" Jesus said, I can't believe I'm hearing this. I can't believe how stupid is this lady. And he said to her, "That's not my mission, to place people on my kingdom." By the way, in the kingdom of God, it's not Jesus that determines it. It's you. It's according to your work. Kingdom is all about a result of what you do on earth. It's not about salvation. Salvation is guaranteed by Jesus Christ. Amen. But the kingdom of God is all about a result of you have done for him because you are already saved. Amen. If you want to learn more about it in details, come to our Master Life class, okay, on Wednesday night. Okay. So this lady asked Jesus to put her two sons beside him in the kingdom. Jesus said, how stupid you are asking me this. And all the 12 disciples said, well, what these guys they are thinking they are? Because we are all working hard. We are all walking with Jesus. We are all, you know, living this life with him, renouncing our own life. Now these guys come and ask to be beside you. Where we are going to be in God's kingdom? If they are going to be one in the right and another one in the left. How a stupid question. Because people always try to find the best place. Try to get advantage. But God, but the Peter, by the Holy Spirit, is telling us we are not called to be celebrities. We are not called to be the best one. We are not called to be the best Coca-Cola in the desert. The last, you know, the last beer in the desert. We are not called to be this. We are called to be servants. Could you tell somebody, you are called to be servant? Jesus said, those who want to be served must serve first. Jesus said, there is two guys, one in the table, another one serving the one who is in the table. And I am this guy serving the one who is in the table. In another point, Jesus was washing disciples' feet. And someone, Peter, always Peter, Jesus, you can't wash my feet. I'm scratching a lot among my feet is smelling, dirty. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in my ministry. Oh, Jesus, the whole body. Jesus, Peter was always like this. Always like this. Extremes, points, always. Jesus said, no, just your feet is enough. You are already saved. So Jesus called us to be servants and not celebrities. If we do not allow Jesus to wash our feet, to deal with us, we cannot be in his kingdom. Friends, the Bible says in Matthew, Jesus also said in 5:3, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Say with me, poor in spirit. For there is the kingdom of heaven. For so many years I understood poor in spirit, like poor with money. So some religion, they emphasize this word poor to give this connotation, this connection between poor and humble. But when Jesus said poor in spirit, this is very important. I tried to find out what does this word, this expression, poor in spirit mean. Actually, it gave me, my brother Google gave me this definition. Poor in spirit is the one who is always lowly in his own eyes. Who does not exalt himself. And is not proud. This is poor in spirit. Amen? So the Bible says, actually, if we want to go into the kingdom of heaven, we have to be poor in spirit. And Paul says, and Peter says to us in the here this morning, that we must humble ourselves. Get down from your... Yeah. Some people, they come, not you guys, you guys are perfect. Just people that didn't come this morning. They come to church very over the top. Where am I going to sit? Is there no air con in this church? Could you sing a hymn for me? Because that song, I don't like that kind of song. Who said to you, we sing for you? We sing for him. We sing for him. I don't like this church because it's a very noisy church. I prefer a very calm. Okay, we have other options in the town. You can go around, you're going to find lots of silenced church. But here, if you call us Happy Clappy Church, I don't care. Because we are here in the presence of God. And as a humble in his presence, we do whatever the Holy Spirit asks us to do. And we are free to do so. Can I hear amen? Number two, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Self-centered people find themselves at odds with God, while those who are humble enjoy his favor. What do you prefer? To be strange before God's eyes? To be weird before God's eyes? To be scary sometimes before God's eyes? I saw some video this week in a church. The guy was, and the message was, the quality of Christians we have today is the worst one ever. And he showed some videos. And I saw part of this video because I couldn't see everything, and I don't like this kind of negative thought. But the first one was worse. The pastor was praying for people. Don't worry, I'm not going to adopt this kind of method. He used to put water in his hand, in his mouth, and spit in people's mouth, transferring glory. Everything to transfer anointing. Yeah. Friends, I don't want this anointing. But self-centered people find themselves scary before God. Strange before God. Two guys in the Bible, they were swallowed by the earth because they were just trying to offer something to God, but they offered something that God didn't ask them to do. They offered some strange worship. And God said, I don't like this worship. And because that was in the Old Testament, the earth opened and swallowed both of them. So don't try to offer God anything because he's merciful. Yeah, he's merciful. But he has also criteria. So offer something to him, like Paul says, our reasonable service. Our intelligent service. The best I can do, offer it to God. Amen? Amen? So the Bible says that the God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So what should I do? Grace, friends, let me tell you something. Grace is not for people that they think they are good. Grace is not for people that they never commit mistakes. Grace is not for people that they justify themselves. They are very proud. But grace is for those, let me tell you this, grace is for those who qualify themselves unworthy. These people need grace. If you think about yourself, you are unworthy, you deserve grace. God will release grace upon your life. But people that comes over the top, thinking they are the last beer in the desert, they don't deserve grace because they have their own grace already. Amen? So grace is all about not deserving it. And God places his grace upon us. Amen? Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5 says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Hello, young people. "Disobedient to parents." Not you guys, of course. "Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control." Hello. "Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away." If God says to us, turn away from these people, it's because He's doing the same. Over the top people will never find grace of God. We will never find the blessings of God. We must be in this point where we say, "Lord, I don't deserve it." Do you know how many times I said to my wife, just to her, she said, "Just for me, you say those things." Now I'm going to confess my sin before you guys. Do you know how many times I desire to go into their agents and destroy their place because they were holding my deposit back? And I'm here needing this money. And even if I don't need this money is mine. It's not supposed to be with them. 14 days is maximum to keep my deposit, if you don't know that. By law, 14 days is the maximum. In 14 days, you have to have your deposit back. 38 days. Calling, going there, sending emails, messages. I said, I'm going to go there. I'm going to do some crazy stuff. I'm going to put my car inside of their office. You pay my money now. But of course, I didn't do this. Patience is a virtue. One day, in my prayer here, every day we pray here in this morning, in this place, I pray, "Lord, I'm fed up calling them, sending them messages, doing whatever I can do. I'm going to just pray from now on. I put those guys in your hands, and you're going to put angels around them to, you know, to disturb them. Pay my servant. Give them back the money. Yeah. You're not going to sleep tonight. You're not going to sleep tonight because tomorrow morning, the first thing you're going to do, you're going to do this deposit back." God can do this. You know that? And it's better when He does it. And He gave us the extra that we didn't expect. They deduct 100 pounds from my deposit, and I became very angry. Because I do not accept. I left the house better than I got it. But I said, as soon as I get my money, I'm gonna ask them to give me back this 100 pounds. It's not about 100 pounds. It's about the attitude. Friends, but when I prayed to God, God gave me stability and patience. And for a while, I stopped saying anything. When I stopped being proud, when I stopped saying I'm on my right, I'm going to take them to the court. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. When I stopped doing this, God worked on my favor. Because grace is not for those who deserve it. Grace is for those who do not deserve it. Can I hear amen? 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 So, let us be like this. Let us flee from people like this. Okay? Number 3, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hands of God, The mighty hand of God, let me tell you something. The mighty hand of God used in the scripture by Peter symbolizes two important things. Pay attention, please. A, God's hand of discipline. B, God's hand of deliverance. Can you hear me? When we accept and we allow the mighty hand of God deal in us, bring us humbleness, work in our personality, work in our thinking, working in the principles we still living on. When we allow the mighty hand of God coming to us and deal in our lives, actually, we are opening two possibilities for God to work in us. A, in His discipline, teaching us things, telling us what to do, correcting us when we need, and also receiving His deliverance. Friends, lots of people, they look for God's deliverance, but they're not available for discipline. Who is the one who goes into the race or don't go to the race, but they want to go up in the podium? Nobody is crazy enough to desire a podium without going to the race. But actually, God leads us into the race, into the proof, with one main point: to be approved. We go to the race to get the medal. Spiritually, we are proved to be approved. Nobody say amen when they see this. People say amen when they say, you are going to be rich. You are going to be the best car. You're going to You're going to have a boat. And you're going to invite the pastor to go a holiday in a cruise. People love things like this. But the Bible talks about discipline and deliverance. Amen? Anything apart of this is not the gospel. It's not the gospel. There are some people in the world preaching the gospel in another way. They are trying to put too much sweet in this cake. They are trying to put too much cherries on the top of this cake. And the cake actually cannot be sweet. It's actually bitter in some point. But in the end of the day, we are going to experience deliverance. Say with me, deliverance. Deliverance. We actually, friends, discipline and deliverance, we actually need both. So submit to His will today, and you will experience His deliverance in your life. So if you desire deliverance, if you desire victory, if you desire a happy life, everybody desires a happy life, do the will of God. Do the will of God. Psalm 37, 23, 24 says, are you there? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. God is always supporting you. When you think you are alone, when you think nobody helps you, in this process of this situation, my wife said, sometimes I said, Lord, who should I go to? Is there any department? Is there any organization? Of course, there is some organization, they do a dispute. But when they get the money, they grab half. And I said, no, I don't want to give my money. I don't have money. And the little I have, to share. This is my right. I'm going to pray to the Lord and get some rest. But I was trying to find a place, someone to go and say, listen, they have been unjust against me. But actually, they were not unjust. They proved it. They proved it. They are so honest. Okay? I was in the process to being shaped by God in this process. God was dealing in my life, telling me how to be patient, how to rest on Him, not in organizations, not in people, not in companies, not on my rights. Okay? When I understood it, we received deliverance. And deliverance came better than I was thinking about it. Much, much better. Much, much better. Much better. Much better. Even my wife's face was better when I said to her. When she got home, I said to her, they called from the agents and they are talking about 750 pounds. She said, what else should we pay? She said, no, it's not about paying. We paid. That is overpayment. She said, really? Her eyes changed completely. If you want to see a lady happy, give her money. I prefer it this way. Works in everything. So, when we fail sometimes, God's hand will always uphold us because we are always there in His hand. Say with me, the best place to be is not here, is not there, but in God's hand. Amen? Some people think being happy is living in New Zealand, close to the island, front of the sea. No. You can live in a favela in Brazil and be happy as long as you are in God's hand. Amen? Are you there? Amen? The last point. Casting all your anxieties. We don't have any anxious people here in this place, isn't it? We are not anxious. Are you? I'm not anxious. Just because when I go and buy a new shoes, I want to leave the shop using it already. I'm not anxious. When I buy a new car, I want to drive this car for hours and hours and hours and hours. Like a boy in a Toys R Us. Casting all your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you. Things that you didn't get it yet. Situations that you don't know yet. God is taking care of it already. Amen? Let me talk about this man, Nick. Allow me, please. I'm so happy for you, man. This man went through a very tough circumstance years ago. And he came to church. He gave again his life to Jesus. He started to do Master Life course. He's the one who never missed one lesson until now. And last Wednesday he said, I don't have printer. Could you print my CV? I'm going to go for an interview tomorrow. And when I saw the position, I said, wow, this guy is not... It's not part of the average. Very high position. I said, of course I can print this CV. And in the end of the lesson, Gus called him to the front and we all prayed for him because he went for an interview on Thursday. And now I just asked him, how was the interview? He said, I got the job. I got the job. He never came through this door saying who he was. The position he used to work in. He never said it. He never said it. When I saw his CV, I said, wow, this guy is not any guy. Come on, Nick, could you sit down in the front? I know he's not after this. I know he's not after this. But because he submits to the Lord, gave his life, and he started to walk with Jesus and learn from him in the chair. All his knowing, all his capacity, he put it aside and said, I'm going to sit down every Wednesday night. I'm going to learn from God. Amen. When he humbled himself, God delivered his blessings upon him. That's the way, friends. Casting all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. He cares for you when you are not even thinking about it. God cares for you. Sometimes our worries are like, if we do not look out for ourselves, nobody else will do this. But let me tell you something. Focusing on the needs of others, we are confident that God will spare nothing when it comes to meeting our needs. Okay? Instead of looking to your own belly, start to help somebody else. Start to see somebody else's needs. But what about my need? God will look after you. He cares for you. Okay? When we care about God's kingdom, he cares about our lives. What is more important for you? To look after your own kingdom or God's kingdom? Try to look after God's kingdom first. And all these things will be added to you, Jesus said. Amen? Philippians 4:6, and I'm going to finish. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Let's read all together. Sorry, Josh. All together, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. Why? Because he cares for you. Let me challenge you now. When somebody calls you and says, oh, I'm desperate. God cares for you. He's dealing with this situation. Don't get desperate. Just wait. Could you tell somebody, just wait. God is dealing with the situation. Amen? Let me pray for you now. In the name of Jesus. Let's all stand up, please. Oh, Jesus. You are an amazing God, Lord. Such a wonderful God you are. Such a wonderful God you are, Lord. You deserve our adoration. You deserve our worship.
Friends, I don't know what is this message mean for you. But from someone that has been broken, God spoke to me a lot. And I have learned from Him from the past days in how not to judge anyone, not to judge a book by its cover. To be patient. To tell me I have no right. Jesus is my righteousness. And every time I need something, I just need to humble myself and cast all my need, my anxiety, my desires in His hands. Because He cares for me. I am a father. I am a granddad also. And as long as I can, I always prepare good things for my children, for my grandchildren, for the ones I love. Do you think God is, you are better than God? Do you think God is going to do less than you? If we, as a human beings, full of defeats, problems, we still give good stuff to our children, how much our God would be able to give to you? To provide it to you. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it seems like God is taking so long to answer your prayer. He's not taking so long. God always comes at the right time. God never come before, never come late. He comes at the right time. At the kairos time. Kairos is a Greek word that says God's time. We live in a chronos time. But God acts and moves by the kairos time. We just need to be patient. We just need to wait. God is preparing something special for your life.